This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Michelle Norris. Darfur, Sudan is no stranger to violence. Tens of thousands have died there, caught in a brutal struggle between government-backed militias and rebel fighters. Now aid workers who came to help are being targeted. Carjackings, armed robberies, and the occasional murder, they're all part of the new reality for humanitarians in Darfur. And many aid groups are struggling to respond. For them, war is easy. Crime, well, that's hard. NPR's Gwen Tompkins reports from El Fasher, the capital of North Darfur.
Here are some of last week's crime stats from North Darfur. On Monday, it happened to UNICEF. On Tuesday, it happened to Doctors Without Borders. And on Wednesday, on the road outside El Fasher, it happened to a truck driver called Adam Ahmad Osman.
The people that appeared in front of us, and they are heavy types of guns used by the rebels here. And they asked me to open the door. I opened the door. They just put the weapon towards me, and they asked about the mobile phones.
And that's how nine armed bandits hijacked a World Food Program truck. It was one of the Big Mamas, those white Mercedes flatbeds that take up so much of the road when they pass by. They carry hundreds of tons of food to more than 2 million displaced people living in camps. This is the fourth time that it's happened to Osman in just over a year. And sitting here amid a fleet of other spanking white trucks and land cruisers, he has every reason to believe that it will happen again.
When they stopping me, I have to talk nicely to them, and they take what they want, and at the end, they're leaving me to go.
Banditry, the scourge of any war-torn frontier, is flourishing in Darfur. Nearly every aid organization has been hit. Even Sudanese government ministries have been carjacked. This year, the World Food Program has had 76 trucks snatched, and 35 contracted drivers are still missing. And yet, when people commit crimes like this, they end up robbing themselves. Food plus truck means that the hungry eat. Food minus truck means that the hungry stay that way. And who can reason on an empty stomach? That's the sound of about half the grocery ration that Rokaya Mohammed Abdullah is used to getting. She lives in the Abu Shok camp for displaced people in El Fasher. She and her eight children depend on food aid, but the World Food Program has cut rations due to insecurity. In Abu Shok, she says, people suspect that the Sudanese government may be trying to starve them out.
Some of us are saying that the government is behind that reduction of food. They said before they want to take us back to the villages, and we are not accepting that. So this is why they want to reduce the food to us.
Mohammed Ahmed Abdullah Yagoub also lives in Abu Shok. He doesn't truck in rumors. The facts are compelling enough. Yagoub has six children, two wives, and debts. He borrowed food from relatives to feed his family last month, and he thought he'd get his regular portion of sorghum and fixins this month, but he didn't. Now Yagoub's children are asking for milk, and his other relatives want their food back.
So the stress from two sides, from my family and from my relatives, those I have borrowed from them.
Sooner or later, aid workers say they'll have to decide whether they can continue working in Darfur.
There has to, at some point, be a line. And, I mean, at the moment, we're not at that line, but we're pretty close.
Alan McDonald works for Oxfam, a British aid organization that has been providing clean water in Darfur since a famine here 20 years ago. Nowadays, they're trying to draw less attention to themselves. McDonald says Oxfam is not above renting old jalopies to get water equipment into rural areas. And they're not above hiring donkeys to move stuff either. An Oxfam driver was murdered in a carjacking 2 years ago, and McDonald has already survived an armed assault where he lives. He says crime is eating away at what Oxfam can accomplish here.
Most of these attacks that are happening go unpunished, which of course is a perfect incentive for others to do it. You know, they see how easy it is basically to hijack a an NGO vehicle. And, you know, these hijackings, they're not happening, you know, late at night. Lots of them are happening in the centre of towns, right in the centre of camps, in broad daylight, you know, the middle of the day.
So who are these bandits? No one, not the humanitarian groups, nor the area residents, nor the joint United Nations African Union peacekeeping force will say for sure. But most agree that the situation got bad when the rebels started subdividing, like spin-offs from a hit television show. What began as the Sudanese Liberation Army, or SLA, is now SLA Mini, SLA Wahid, SLA Free Will, and SLA Unity. And there are more, maybe 20 in all, operating in North Darfur. Government soldiers and Arab militia are also reportedly moonlighting as robbers. Knowing that something bad can happen at any time makes the long nights in Darfur even longer.
At one point, I wanted to throw in the towel myself.
That's General Martin Luther Agwai at the El Fasher Airport. He heads the United Nations African Union Joint Peacekeeping Force, called UNAMID. Even they have been carjacked while on patrol. The force is undermanned and under-equipped.
And at what point did you want to throw in the towel?
Yes, until I finished that book on Stop Worrying and Start Living. When I finished that book, I then determined that I must stay and see it through.
Do you think that could be a bestseller in Darfur?
Yes.
But last week, Agwai got some encouraging news. The UN Security Council said it would better look after UNAMID so that UNAMID can better look after Darfur.
I am positive now that the whole world is around to support us and make sure we achieve the mandate.
Mahmoud Jibril Shogar has also chosen living over worrying. And so far, so good. In 17 years on the road, and four of them driving for the World Food Program, he's never lost a truck. Here at the warehouse, porters are loading his flatbed with sacks of U.S.-grown sorghum for transport more than 150 miles north of El Fasher.
Really, I am very cautious. I think that one day will happen, but this depends on God.
And with a limber leap into the cab of his truck, Shogar is ready to go. He may just make it, or maybe not. Gwen Tompkins, NPR News, El Fasher.